Welcome back to the Candidate Forum, brought to you by the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, Kodiak Daily Mirror, and KMXT. Now, we'll move on to our second forum for the night, the City Council Candidate Forum. There are three candidates vying for two seats on the City Council.
The City Council Candidate Forum will be broken into three parts. Candidates will have 1 minute to give an opening statement. Then we'll move into the questions, where each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond. The first candidate to answer the first question will be the last candidate to answer the second question, and so forth. Finally, each candidate will have 1 minute to give a closing final statement.
As a reminder, candidates must stop speaking when the timer sounds, and we ask that all candidates remain civil, courteous demeanor throughout the forum.
So again, we're going to go in alphabetical order, so we'll start with Randy Bishop. So please give us your opening statement, sir.
Thank you. Well, first of all, my name is Randall C. Bishop, and I want to thank the Chamber, the Kodiak Daily Mirror, and KMXT for hosting this event. I've sat on the council for four terms, and this is my fourth term ending. I've been a lifelong resident. I moved away after high school to attend college in Southern California. I moved back in the early spring of 2009. From there, I went commercial fishing and decided to stay here and work with the family business. And since 2009, the fall, I've been operating and managing Mecca Inc., which has been established in the community since 1978. Since then, you know, I've been raised to stand on value and morals. And growing up here as a teenager, you always look to escape Kodiak, get out, see what's out there. And coming back and being older and wiser, as you say, you realize the...
Thank you. For our next candidate, Bob Stanford, please give us your opening statement.
Thank you. I'm going to appreciate you providing this forward. I think this has been, I was told, 8 years since the last time we did this. So I flew up here in an airplane in 1977, and I stayed. And, you know, what I saw is, as a young man, was a lot of vibrance in a community and a place that I felt welcome with a can-do attitude. And I think that's important for everybody that's here now, if you can dream it and do it. So my big message is to engage, is for everyone to engage. It's important. It works. we react on the council a lot. I'd like to thank my wife for supporting me, and I've been active in my church. I own Advantage Air Freight and ran Island Air Service for 42 years. So,
Annika Wood, you are next.
Good evening, friends and neighbors. My name is Annika Woods, and I'm elated to be speaking to you tonight. For those of you who may not know me, I was born and raised in Kodiak. I'm a proud St. Mary's alumni, and I graduated from Kodiak High School in 2015. I work and play here, and I want to raise children in the school district. I own a local business, Barndoor Bates LLC, and I take classes through Kodiak College. I want to serve because I love this town and the people in it. You're all my neighbors, and Kodiak is my home. My roots run deep in this island, and I care about where our shared community is going. The issues that are decided by the City Council affect me, my family, and my neighbors. I spent countless hours in the background of city governance as a former city employee, and before that as an interested resident. I regularly attend city and borough meetings in my spare time to stay up to date on current issues from both elected bodies. I have experience drafting legislation for the council, and I was a key staff member that prepared their meeting packets for 4 years. This affords me unique perspective into the inner workings of city government. My combined... That's all.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move ahead to the questions. We'll start with Mr. Bishop, then Stanford, and then Ms. Woods. Mr. Bishop, the city has determined St. Herman Harbor is in desperate need of a replacement and is in the process of soliciting bids and permits. What experience do you bring that will help facilitate such a large-scale project? How has the city been doing with securing funds for large capital improvement projects?
Thank you. So my experience that can be given to help facilitate this is I've sat on the council for the past 12 years, and you know we've seen how operation has gone. And one of the key factors has been the upkeep of the harbor, which, as you could tell, has not been put in key priority. The council and staff have created a roadmap. We do have a new harbor master who is both feet in. He's wanting and willing. You know, he wants to see the harbor strive. There also has been the PHAB, which will be having their meetings here shortly to discuss. So there are a lot of invested individuals who will make this project come to fruition. You know, from there is a roadmap. It will take several years. This will be the city's biggest project to date since the installation of the new crane over on Pier 3. So I think as of right now, you know, for funding, the Harbor Master is doing a good job to hopefully apply for a grant, and hopefully that pulls through. And I think we're a good front runner for that. So I think we'll see success for our new harbor here very shortly in the next few years.
Thank you. Mr. Stanford, would you like me to repeat the question?
I do, please.
Okay. The city has determined St. Herman Harbor is in desperate need of replacement and is in the process of soliciting bids and permits. What experience do you bring that will help facilitate such a large-scale project? How has the city been doing with securing funds for large capital improvement projects?
Well, thank you. I'm going to start at the back first. How have we done? The fire hall was funded with two grants of $15 million and $7 million. So in my tenure, the ability to secure funds, you know, has been positive and moving forward. The question is, whose job is that? Is it the city council's job? Is it the mayor's job? You know, this is going to fall more in the mayor's alignment. And as city councilman, we don't directly go out unless you do a visit to Washington, D.C., our job is more inquiry. You know, what do we do as a city council? We don't operate the system, we oversee it. So our job is to inquire. Let me give you an example. Originally, the advisory or the to go out and do the design was not put out for an RFP, a request for proposal. You know, the city council and my inquiry was to not go with that with a certain company because, you know, of the information that was coming to me. So we got this into an RFP that turned out to be a very good thing, because if we had gone forward and voted it in, what it would have happened is we probably would not have been eligible for federal funds. So I see my job as is to listen to those advisors, in this case, PHAB, which is the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee, and to put those voices, you know, into the system so we can help oversee. And my experience in business of running a company for the last, since I got here, literally, I was 21 years old when I flew in, is to ask these questions and inquire. So the process we all will support, but it takes a team. No, no one person's going to get it done. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Wood, would you like me to repeat the question,
please?
Yeah. The city has determined St. Herman Harbor is in desperate need of a replacement and is in the process of soliciting bids and permits. What experience do you bring that will help facilitate such a large-scale project? How has the city been doing with securing funds for large capital improvement projects?
Thank you. So I would like to echo Councilmember Stanford's comments that advocacy more falls into the mayor's realm, and it does fall into the city council member's responsibility to ask inquiry. So I would defer to process. We finally have Port and Harbor's advisory board up and running again. Their input is going to be invaluable, as well as input from the community as a whole. When I do my own homework on developing opinions, I like to look at what other communities do as well, so I can make the most informed decision that I can. I would also note that Resolution 2023-07 identifies the City Harbor Reconstruction Project as the top federal and state priority for the city. And I do appreciate that it is developed into two phases, the first being for $16 million, and phases 3 and 4 are estimated to cost about $40 million. And I do appreciate that we're handling it in phases, and I will just leave it at that.
Thank you. Mr. Stanford, your response is going to be first on this next question. Right now, Kodiak employers are having a difficult time finding employees. What can the city of Kodiak do to help solve this job crisis?
You know, that's a good question. It's been asked many times. I've asked it myself quite a few times. Is how we and the general answer comes back as housing, right? So people have been accepted with jobs. You know, the hospital's had many people take a job, and then all of a sudden they can't find a place to stay. So I think most and the best solutions always come in public-private partnerships. It usually occurs when you put minds from both together with an attitude of how we can get it done. There's always reasons how we can't do it or why we can't do it. But if you want to accomplish the task, you got to find reasons and how you can do it. So in earlier forums, they talked about Providence was an example. They built their own house. I think if we outside the box, I mean, I know Councilman Davidson and I have talked about and drove around, why can't we have tiny homes? I personally would like to live in the harbor. I think I'd like to sell or rent my house out and go live on a boat. I just think it'd be a great adventure. So, but having a full-time, you know, place to have live in, you know, why can't we have live in? And making sure that's in the harbor plan. So that's something that I'll be watching. You know, I think zoning requirements and, you know, that also was mentioned, but different abilities to be able to have, you know, maybe, you know, looking at our zoning and multifamily abilities and have renters. And I don't have all those answers, but I know the community does. And our job on the council is to listen and with a proactive stance on this. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stanford. Ms. Woods. Right now, Kodiak employers are having a difficult time finding employees. What can the city of Kodiak do to help resolve this job crisis?
Thank you. Well, it's not just the city of Kodiak that's feeling short-staffing. The world is short-staffed. And I think, in general, when I look for a job, I look for a few things. As a 26-year-old who wants to live in Kodiak, I look at a few different things. I look at the benefits, I look at the overall package, and I also consider it in terms of my overall compensation. Housing has been touched on. It is hard to bring in new people if they don't have anywhere else to stay, but I think for residents, you either have a job you really love and the pay helps, or you have a job that you don't really enjoy that you do because you must and the pay makes up for it. And I think right now the city needs to consider what is more important. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bishop, right now Kodiak employers are having a difficult time finding employees. What can the city of Kodiak do to help resolve this job crisis?
That is a very good question. I myself get that question asked on a daily basis. But as people have said, you know, it's nationwide, you know, to every industry, construction, hospitality, every single trade, you know, that's out there. Everyone just can't find employees to work. What can the city of Kodiak do to help? You know, it all comes down to affordability. You know, certain jobs require certain certifications, you know, prerequisites and whatnot. And so a lot of jobs are attainable. People don't have those qualifications. Something I am interested into looking at is we now have the Kodiak Economic Development Committee, which they have been doing great things. You know, sometimes citizens don't have the right avenues or, you know, just resources to go to. And if they were maybe to help implement, like, you know, a starter point or someone to engage them or start offering, you know, classes or, you know, help them obtain funding, you know, it'd be a good avenue to help the community. But as, you know, is there really one answer or whatnot? I've been asking myself, when are things going to change? But for the city of Kodiak to help the shortfall of the workforce, I think the Kodiak Economic Development Committee is a great resource to start at.
Thank you.
Okay, for our next question, Ms. Woods, you'll respond first with this one. One of the issues facing Kodiak residents and businesses right now is the lack of housing. I'm not sure if this, should we continue with this question? Talk about it, okay. Apologize. Clearly housing's an issue in our community. One of the issues is that Kodiak residents and businesses is lack of housing. What are your thoughts on the crisis? And what strategy, if any, should the city take to help alleviate the market?
Sure, thank you for that. And I didn't touch on housing very much, so I appreciate the opportunity to clarify. I do have some questions on whether or not the city as a service providing organization should get involved in physically providing housing, but I am supportive of public-private partnerships. There's not a lot of available land within city limits to build on, but I do support advocating for the city and the borough to open land up for development, which to me seems like a win-win. Land gets developed, property tax and utility billing revenue is generated for the new homes, and people get additional homes to choose from to stay. That just makes sense to me. I know Kodiak Economic Development Corporation has ideas to address this issue, including a community land trust, which has been successful in other municipalities, as previously stated earlier this evening. And I look forward to seeing that plan develop. I think housing is a big issue. There isn't going to be a one-size-fits-all for everybody, so we're going to have to be creative and come up with multiple solutions to move forward with this. There hasn't been a lot of houses built, really, over the last 10 years. We haven't seen a lot of new development, so we need to get ahead of it, especially with base expansion. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bishop. One of the issues facing Kodiak residents and businesses right now is the lack of housing. What are your thoughts about the housing crisis, and what strategy, if any, should the city take to help alleviate the market?
Thank you. You know, the housing crisis is just like the same question as, you know, trying to how do we resolve, you know, the lack of workers in the workforce? You know, there's a lot of facets that go into the housing crisis. Again, I revert back to the word affordability. You know, it's right now interest bank, you know, rates, they're through the roof. When is it going to end? Also, where is there anywhere to build land? And the land being offered are at prices that, you know, are very affordable, you know, to summon others. Opening land, you know, city and borough, that's a start. But how do we make it affordable for people to, you know, buy, retain, and whatnot? Because you really only see the main focal, you know, entities building. And, you know, how do we help that is, I just go back to affordability. We have to look at, the city does have to look at tax structure. You know, we're looking at a huge influx of people that are coming in through the military. And, you know, right now we haven't looked at that structure recently, but we do plan to open up the books as we proceed for our 2024, budget review. And I think comprising all those facets will funnel down into opening up a lot of opportunities for people to afford housing.
Thank you. Mr. Stanford, one of the issues facing Kodiak residents and businesses right now is the lack of housing. What are your thoughts about the housing crisis, and what strategy, if any, should the city take to help alleviate the market?
Well, again, I talked about that earlier, but I think the answer is outside the box. I think as the mayor kind of mentioned that in her talk. I think the code needs to get looked at. I think that needs we need to look at annexation of the property towards the south. In the study that was put out several years ago, that property could be annexed by the city and with almost minimal impact. There's almost nobody living there. And, you know, a previous candidate for election last quarter, Bruce Schockler, he's come many times, you know, talking about Gibson Cove revival and different things. That's a possibility of, you know, it's a blank slate, that whole area there. I personally bought many homes, modular homes, as I drove down south this last trip I just got back from. You know, you could see banks of the small homes around. My wife and I lived in a 10-by-12 shack and added another one every time we had a kid up at Island Air for until you had five roof lines and it's lots of kids. So there's ways to do it, and we were happy. You know, it's about family. You know, Annika talked about that. You know, family and quality of life. I think we can do all three. The city has the financial wherewithal. I think we are in good shape to potentially look at incentives, you know, and different avenues. But the main stance has to be, how do we get it done? Find reasons to do it, not reasons of why it can't be done. So, and that's going to be my voice, too, is I've been in business. The speed of government drives me crazy. So it's, but I try to interject a way to go forward at a quicker pace. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stanford. Mr. Bishop, you are up. What are your fiscal priorities for the city of Kodiak? Which things do you think are currently overfunded or currently underfunded?
Thank you. As I mentioned before, I think one of my biggest goals is to look at our tax rate, tax cap, exemptions. I think that's a huge part of obtaining all the other goals to come. The city hasn't looked at, you know, the tax rate and tax cap recently, and we've been stagnant on just allowing it to be. As the future comes, and, you know, the way I conduct business is I look at national, statewide, and then local, you know, business practices, and what we're going to see is going to be a blessing to Kodiak, but as well, you know, the structure needs to change with that, and sometimes less is more instead of more being more. But, you know, one of the things, what's overfunded, you know, I think we're always playing catch up to fund things, you know what I mean? So I don't think there's really an issue there. What's underfunded, you know, I believe that, you know, tradition, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but tradition, you know, back when I was a kid, there was a lot of community events that went on that, you know, we always look forward to bring the community together. You always hear about separation and, you know, just with the world the way it is. I think, you know, we can fund a little bit more to community activities and engagement, you know, bring back our 4th of July fireworks show, you know, a New Year's fire show. And I know that sounds a little bit silly, but those are the type of events that bring memorable impressions to our community.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Mr. Stanford, what are your fiscal priorities for the city of Kodiak? Which things do you think are currently overfunded or underfunded?
So, thank you. My priority is in the last 2.5 years that I've been on the council, I guess it's 3 years now, I jumped into the investment committee. It hadn't met for a couple of years, and it was a priority of mine and a reason why I want to continue to run to finish that process. What's interesting is when you say underfunded, let me give you an example. I think the tourism board, Discover, is overfunded. When I started and was on the board many years ago, it was around $300,000 saved. Now there's $835,000 in that account. But saying that, I believe the problem is it's underspent. I don't believe in cutting the budget. I think they need to spend more. And there's no reason we can't have $30,000, $50,000 prizes, you know, for our own salmon derby and bringing people here. You could literally spend $40,000 to $50,000 and you'd never touch the principal balance of that money every year. And what it would bring to our town, you know, as Mr. Bishop said, different events, bringing them back. You know, there's ways to do that. I think that what's underfunded also maybe is DOT infrastructure as far as the Arctic Gateway here, how we're going to be in position for that in the future, whether by choice or by war or you know, whatever could happen that would bring Kodiak rapidly onto the forefront. So, you know, we're in good shape financially in the city. It can always change, and it takes a lot of minds looking at it. And I believe that with that and listening to the public and our advisory boards, we can go forward and provide new opportunities for the town, so for growth. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stanford. Ms. Woods, what are your financial priorities for the city of Kodiak? Which things do you think are currently overfunded? Which things do you think are underfunded?
Thank you. My financial priorities are mainly finding the balance between two things, the desire to lower the cost of living, but also the need to pay for large infrastructure projects such as the harbor, the fire station, downtown revitalization, which I would also include in there, our aging water and sewer system, which truly is the issue that keeps me up at night. And if you don't have water, you don't have anything. I will say in terms of those things, pardon the radio silence here while I collect my thoughts. I look at a few different things, including sales tax on food and water and groceries. I think it's a regressive tax, and I think everybody needs food, but it's going to impact people differently. When I see that the city has been putting money aside into savings, on one hand, I think, great, that means we're in a very good financial position, but that also suggests to me that an overtaxation occurred. And I think it's time that we reevaluate how the city charges the public, especially the things that we all have to spend on to survive. So I would like to look at our sales tax and see projections of what would happen if we dropped it. It'd be pretty easy. There's only a few grocery stores in town, so why don't we just look at those, see what income came. And I would like to review those numbers. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, back to you, Mr. Stanford, for this question. Some residents have voiced concern over the lack of community events and functional spaces in downtown. What role should the City Council play in the revitalization of downtown, and in what ways do you think the City Council should invest in the community's arts, entertainment, and services?
Well, thank you. I think I kind of touched on that in the last question. You know, I believe we're not spending enough, and we're funding tourism, but my voice is to spend more and come up with events. Either through, you know, past, I remember crab festivals when I was here when I got young, and or when I first moved here in the 70s, the crab festival itself has shrunk quite a bit, but I think there's providing the incentive for people to come here. So I think we can do a better job. I think we have committees. I'm not sure advisory boards that we've really listened enough, you know, and asked people, you know, to don't assume we're just going to, say no, and it's very structured. You know, I personally like to listen to those suggestions that maybe they think are, you know, wouldn't be heard. You know, that's going to give you new ideas. So not only events, but incentives, you know, for people to, you know, we've had open-air markets, you know, we do that. I think there's room for a lot more of that, and the city can support those, you know, and we've upped our grant funding from $175,000 to $200,000 to the nonprofits. You know, maybe it's looking at putting some of these ideas in there, you know, as a nonprofit on a separate funding line. So, again, it's just going to take ideas. But I do believe our council is very open. You know, all six members are with good facts put in front of them and suggestions. I do think we listen. And it makes a difference. So bringing those forward is important. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Woods, some residents have voiced concern over the lack of community events and functional spaces in downtown. What role should the City Council play in the revitalization of downtown? And in what ways do you think the City Council should invest in the community's arts, entertainment, and services?
Thank you for that. And I have found myself asking this question as well earlier in the summer when I saw a spirited discussion about the 4th of July and the lack of community events. And it got me thinking about the different things that Kodiak used to do when I was growing up as a kid, and pie-eating contests and a fireworks show and what have you. And it was a good time. And a lot of people will opt to camp out of town, sure, but a lot of people stayed in town for those festivities. And it was good for the economy as well because people were downtown. So in light of that, I had actually reached out to the chamber and basically reiterated that and had a few different ideas. And I said, you know, I don't think the chamber needs to be responsible for all these things, but it makes sense to me that they serve as a starting point to gather businesses. And I think the city is kind of the same way. It's not really their responsibility to pick up the tab, so to speak, but to advocate and to open doors and just make it easier to be downtown. We could invite our food trucks down to the Spit to set up shop. Other municipalities do things called the Mayor's Picnic. There's no reason we can't sit on the green in Sargent Park and as a community. It just takes, like Bob said, thinking out of the box and opening doors rather than closing them. And that's what I hope to do on the council.
Thank you. Let's see. Mr. Bishop. Some residents have voiced concern over the lack of community events and functional spaces in downtown. What role should the City Council play in the revitalization of downtown, and in what ways do you think the City Council should invest in the community's arts, entertainment, and services?
Thank you. Downtown is like a second home to me. And, you know, seeing it the way it is in the condition from growing up, you know, about 20, 30 years ago at this point, you know, there were occasions like Moonlight Madness, you know, where it would always be, you'd have your local businesses staying open until, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night, just filled with movement. You know, I think that, you know, the new marketplace downtown will bring a good vibe, you know, to jump-starting that. There also is a plan, you know, I sit on the Parks and Rec committee, and, you know, we were tasked with all of the parks, you know, to give a look at what would be great. And, you know, that's one of our priorities, is to look at that and, you know, to decide what can go downtown. As far as, you know, what the city could do, you know, as individuals on the council, you know, we can advocate. But there are a lot of great resources like the chamber. But technically, like Ms. Wood said, it's not the chamber's job to really go out there. But they do a great job in facilitating, you know, Crab Fest. You know, like they always say, you don't have to build something new. You can always rebuild or build off. And, you know, something as of, you know, the Kodiak Crab Festival, maybe it's time to look at, you know, doing joint ventures. And, you know, it's just having the right resources. And also it's the want. You know, we all have personal lives. Everything is busy. And it usually takes that one individual to strive and push and, you know, go out there and advocate. But I dedicate myself this term to being one of those persons to advocate for more community events.
Thank you. Ms. Woods, the non-white minority population of the city of Kodiak make up over half of the city's demographic, yet our elected local officials remain predominantly white and male. How can we achieve more equitable representation in our local government across race, gender, and culture line? And I see you're doing your part.
Thank you. That's very generous. you know, it was touched on earlier when the mayor candidates were speaking. There's a lack of people running, period. And that's part of why I chose to run, because if not you, then who? If not now, then when? And, you know, I had a few people complain to me about this and that, like, how could this happen, and da-da-da. And I was like, well, you need to get involved then if you don't like it. If you're not happy, then roll up your sleeves and do something about it. And so that's what I'm doing. In terms of getting other people involved, I liked what Mayor Branson said about having one-on-one conversations. And I'd say if there's anybody out there that wants to get more involved, and if you're not comfortable running for an elected position, I can't say that I blame you. It's been very exhausting, but worthwhile. Get on an advisory board. Get started with a nonprofit. Find the doers. And you can work your way up. And frankly, if there's anybody that has any questions about navigating the city website or the borough, or they want to get involved, my contact information is on Facebook. Please feel free to come find me. I will be more than happy to sit down with you and to show you where things are located and to help explain a few different things, because I think we all need to get more involved. Our town is a giant group project, and it's not going to get better unless we band together and figure it out. Thank you.
For the audience listening, part of that is getting out to vote. So, Mr. Bishop, the non-white minority populations of the city of Kodiak make up over half of the city's demographic, yet our elected local officials remain predominantly white and male. How can we achieve more equitable representation in our local government across race, gender, and culture lines?
Thank you. Well, I feel I ride the fine line. I split the line because I am half Filipino and half American and very proud of my culture. I think, you know, stepping to the big stage as, you know, a local official is a huge commitment. And, you know, with the time commitment that it involves, I believe the council did a good job in restructuring, you know, attendance, you know, for meetings, you know, so it's not so stringent that where if people were interested in running, it would kind of defer them, because it is a commitment. It's a lot of knowledge, a lot of material to go over, time spent at meetings. But also it goes back to, you know, council members being able to advocate. There are a lot of other, you know, committees and associations out there that I feel do a great job representing its community members. And as far as all the advisory boards that are out there, I think there is a good mix and diverse between male, female ethnicity. We just got the Parks and Rec committee going again, and I believe it's predominantly females. So, you know, they may not be on the big stage, but there are diverse, you know, groups out there that hold the male, female, different race and everything. So I would just say to help, you know, direct, advocate, point, you know, I do my best in speaking to young individuals, you know, why not try it? Well, I don't know anything. And, you know, I came into this process not knowing anything myself, but you just have to get involved because everyone starts somewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stanford. Yeah, of course. The white minority population of the city of Kodiak make up over half of the city's demographic, yet our elected officials remain predominantly white and male. How can we achieve more equitable representation in our local government across race, gender, and culture lines?
Well, I think we can make it easier for people. You know, the new generation's brought a lot of really great systems. Social media, ability to communicate, you know, quicker and faster. As Mr. Bishop said, you know, we just passed it, so we can be electronically tied in. So, and I think that's important with Starband and different, you know, facilities that are, you know, people don't have to be on the spot all the time. You know, it's hard on, particularly you get people in my generation, you know, you want to be able to travel to see grandkids and stuff. So we were definitely for this change to be able to do our job. You know, much of it is just electronic and read. We get our packets online. We can do all these things and yet still have the experience of being able to understand what's happening, I guess, you know, or be able to listen. I think incentives, you know, need to be provided. I'm thinking about that. I mean, again, my generation, we're not going to be here that long. It's going to be the Randys and the Anikas and those that are moving to our island. They're going to bring new ideas, and it's going to be their future and their kids. My family's raised, so I'm motivated to make sure that the, you know, the infrastructure and that we have a family first type of an attitude. But I think these incentives, you know, may be in the form, you know, whatever they come up to be, but we need to incentivize people to want to. Right now, the council position for those in the audience, you know, we take home $389 a month. So it's really not a financial incentive to do this. It's a service incentive. But, you know, maybe we need to find out if it's something that would generate more interest, you know, in different communities if there was different incentives, and ask them. So thank you.
Thank you. We'll start with Mr. Bishop on this next question. What is the best decision this Kodiak City Council has made over the past 2 years? What is one that you have taken exception to or believe you could have been handled differently?
Thank you. I think the city has done a lot of great things. You know, for the past 2 years, you know, we've kind of all been sheltered, so to say, within our own little bubble. But, you know, one thing I can be proud of is, you know, while sitting on the council, is our ability to introduce a new industry to the community. You know, times have changed, and I'm talking along the realms of, you know, the marijuana industry. I sat on both boards for the borough and the city, you know, and put together a plan for that industry. So always welcoming, you know, any type of business, you know, to prosper, to start. You know, I know Kodiak is a conservative community and very old school, for the lack of better terms, but times are ever so evolving and changing. The one thing that I would have liked to seem different, which I feel is amongst a lot of chatter, is communication. As we all know, you know, the Baranoff Park equipment was removed without proper notice, and you know, just everyone is so busy, and you know, the city did drop the ball on that. But I believe, you know, communication, learning from instances like that, although it's not something you can just say is wrong and, you know, fix, but I believe everyone involved is learning and it has learned, you know, to do better. So I just think that communication and all that is going to be good and get better.
Thank you. Mr. Stanford, what is the best decision the Kodiak City Council has made over the past 2 years? What is one that you have taken exception to or you believe could have been handled differently?
Thank you. I'm proud of my ability to volunteer to get on the investment committee. I know it's made a tremendous difference. Many of the votes that were taken that we took at the beginning of my tenure were without proper data. We didn't have the financials in front of us to make good decisions. So I took exception to, how we were taking our votes. And through several council members, we kept pressing and pressing for this data. And more rocks we turned over, we found out that the city was in a far better place than we thought it was. There was no mismanagement of funds, as far as they truly just weren't being spent. One of the previous questions you asked about regrets, we could have been spending a little bit of money on harbor maintenance that we didn't. So I think the question, there was a question that went into the paper that said, it talked about Ports and Harbors Advisory Board, and it says, do you think there was any way that the controversy could have been avoided? I'd like to take that word controversy and change it to engagement. Well, why would you want to change engagement? Through most of these things, everything has a silver lining in it, and through it, strong candidates in Ports and Harbors, the P&D resolution was stopped. So I personally don't believe that engagement, or if you want to call it controversy, is necessarily a bad thing. It's just people exploring avenues and trying to find the best way forward, and most of the time I can say that's exactly what's happened. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Woods, what is the best decision the Kodiak City Council has made over the past 2 years? What is one that you could have taken exception to or believe could have been handled differently?
Thank you. There are quite a few things in recent years I think the City Council has done well. So I'm just going to pick one to highlight something that Mr. Stanford touched on, which is engagement. January 2021, the City Council had an ordinance in front of them to ban ATVs from being driven on city roads. And it brought a lot of people out of the woodwork, let's just say. I would say in general, the community resoundingly wanted to be able to drive ATVs on city roads, as was newly allowed by state law. And I heard a couple people afterwards say, like, man, that was a mess. And I said, I disagree. I think it was a success because it brought engagement. And you might call it a controversy because of how upset a lot of people were. But at the end of the day, the public was heard. The council decided to kill the ordinance. And I think that's how it's supposed to be. We're probably not always going to get opinions from the public, and we're going to have to do our own research and do the best that we can. But in theory, in the best case scenario, that's what it should be like. Spirited public comment from the community, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what I want. It matters what the community wants. So that's helpful. And as far as something that I took exception to, I touch on it a little bit in my interview in the Kodiak Daily Mirror, which will hopefully publish this week, but Baranoff Park. Like a lot of people I found out on Facebook, one of my best friends grew up on Baranoff Park, grew up on Baranoff Street. I grew up playing on that park. And I don't want to kick people while we're down. The mayor and council admitted fault, but it felt like the city bulldozed my childhood. It really did. And communication needs to improve for every project moving forward. Thank you.
Mr. Stanford, many places in Alaska are seeing a jump in tourism now that the pandemic regulations are effectively null. Should Kodiak seek to increase tourism to the island? And what should the city's role be, if any, in expanding tourism?
Thank you, Ed. I think we should seek to expand tourism, but again, what type of tourism? Is it the ships that, mass day travelers and gone? I personally like adventure travel. I think we have some just exceptional programs like, I haven't done all Seven Peaks. I want to. You know, why can't we have a challenge with that and fund it with prizes that would bring people here? We could have our own salmon derby. I have no, we've got plenty of opportunities for this, you know, and other ideas. So I think we have current active programs going on. You know, sometimes I think I miss the cry of the wild ram. You know, I mean, I remember it was closed, you know, for probably good reasons, but maybe it can come back with and celebrate our native culture, you know, and I mean, I've spent my career flying here to the villages and miss the contact that I have. So I think if we just look deep in our roots, we have many things that we can already that we can find and help fund them, and I think they will exponentially bring more to this community than any funding, you know, it outstripped that easily. So thank you.
Thank you. So, Ms. Woods, many places in Alaska are seeing a jump in tourism now that the pandemic regulations are effectively null. Should Kodiak seek to increase tourism to the island? And if so, what should the city's role be in expanding tourism?
Thank you. I go back to the code. And when I look at city code, I think we should be making it easier to do business in city limits. For example, if you want to have a tour vehicle, you have to go through this lengthy process. You need to have a specific route. It needs to be approved by the chief of police. And I kind of wonder if all those things are really necessary. And also having it where you need a special permit by the city manager's office to have and pay $500 to have your food truck parked on the city property. That's a hefty price for a small local business for a very short period of time. For a business that wants to open its doors and collect sales tax for the city, we should be making it easier for people to do business, and then the rest will follow through. If you support our local businesses, especially downtown, you support tourism. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bishop, many places in Alaska are seeing a jump in tourism now that the pandemic regulations are effectively null. Should Kodiak seek to increase tourism to the island? What should the city's role be, if any, in expanding tourism?
Thank you. I think tourism is great. It's good. Can we expand on it? Yes, to a certain extent, I believe. You know, I think the city works well with, you know, Discover Kodiak, who is kind of the main forefront for our tourism program. You know, can we better work schedules and whatnot for that? You know, that's all. I feel, you know, the tourism, they get to come here, and unfortunately, with the blessing of our most beautiful weather, rain, you know, they don't really get to do much. And, you know, scheduling can be a conflict, also routes, weather. But I think as a city, we can advocate to promote our brand, Kodiak. You know, as Mayor Branson said, Kodiak is a brand name. Alaska in general, you know, you go on TV and you see them try to make all these wild, crazy, interesting TV shows, and everyone is intrigued about Alaska. And I believe us being located in Kodiak, Kodiak is a gem compared to our neighboring cities and whatnot. So to promote, advertise, and push our brand, you know, I think could be done better for Kodiak, because you never know one person out of that tourist group or one entity, they see, you know, what Kodiak can be, and that's all it takes, you know, and things can become prosperous.
Thank you. For our next question, we'll begin with Ms. Woods. Some residents complain about a shrinking sense of community. What projects, events, or types of programs, if any, should the City Council invest in to improve the overall quality of life on the island?
Thank you. Well, I think an easy one is having a wide use social media policy. Right now, the city is fragmented in terms of its use. It's free to use, and it's an easy way to get connected. I think it's safe to say that Kodiak uses Facebook more than a lot of other forms of media. And I like the idea of sponsoring more events. Again, public-private partnerships, I don't think it's really the city's responsibility to put on events, but at least open the door to provide them and bring more people back into downtown. A really good example of something that brought the community together is the community block party that was put on by a nonprofit. There are already doers in this town that are good at putting on events and bringing people together, so we should just encourage them and support them in doing what they do well already.
Thank you. Mr. Bishop, some residents complain about a shrinking sense of community. What projects, events, or types of programs, if any, should the City Council invest in to improve the overall quality of life on the island?
Thank you. I've talked about this in the last few months more so. I'm all about for community events. You know, what I do in my daily job is look at what we could do for entertainment and whatnot to make the people have a good time. You know, we do have other entities that do a great job. We have the Arts Council. We have the Chamber. But do I think one of the paramount issues into bringing good entertainment, not saying that none already does come, but is funding? You know, it does take a price, you know, to fund. So I think the city can do a partnership with either the Chamber or, you know, something as, you know, I'm not too sure if it was ferry schedule or, you know, funds that, you know, the Golden Wheel amusement isn't coming to Kodiak anymore. But that is a staple that we, I feel, can build on. And with the right resources, turn it into a music festival. You know, I think it takes the city to organize and also fund. And like I said, Kodiak is its name brand. You build something, and I guarantee you it will come. So I think funding is one of the biggest things. Collaboration with our local law enforcement, fire. I know there are a lot of setbacks that occur while trying to properly plan, you know, but I believe if you have the right resources, they are able to obtain. And I think the city staff, they do a great job in helping people attain those. And for instance, you know, I wanted to have a hot dog eating contest on our sidewalk, but I had to jump through all these hoops of, you know, getting insurance clauses and all that. But staff pointed me in the right direction. We were able to do it. So I think funding is the best help the city could do for community events.
Thank you. Mr. Stanford, some residents complain about a shrinking sense of community. What projects, events, or types of programs, if any, should the City Council invest in to improve the overall quality of life on the island?
I think the quality of life, just ask the moms. You know, we spent our whole time raising kids, going to see grandkids. I mean, it occupies a lot of our families or whatever family structure you have, right? So why not create, I'll give you an example. My wife started the North Star Mile, and it was based on something that we called the Wellsville Mile when we lived in Utah. And it ended up being, you know, quite a success, not just because of the accomplishment that the kids felt when they did it, you know, and I think you can expand on that, you know, work with the schools. But if you focus on the family, what the families need and want, you know, the moms came and told us when the park got ripped out, bad move, you know, we responded. So I think they'd have that. That's the source, I think, that you'll find the best answers for community. You know, I think also the churches, you know, ask the churches, you know, what sustains them and what's their needs in community. So, I mean, we have the answers here. We have the people here. There's good people that live in Kodiak, and just find out their ideas and support them. And the city can support by recognition. And, you know, we can always do things in the city. We already do it in supporting many nonprofits. So and in kind type, you know, structures that we have. So yeah, just ask your wife, ask a mom. She knows.
Thank you, Bob. That concludes the question segment of our forum. We'll move ahead to closing statements, which we will again do in alphabetical order. So, Mr. Bishop, go ahead and give us your closing statement. I believe it's 1 minute.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished members of our community, I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude for the opportunity to be your candidate in this local election. Today, I stand before you to reinforce my commitment to serving you as a dedicated representative. I believe that these key points are what we need to focus on to make our town an even better place to live, work, and thrive. Community engagement and transparency, economic growth and job creation, our community's prosperity depends on thriving economy. I am committed to supporting local entrepreneurs and creating job opportunities. Education and development. We all know our children are our most precious assets. Infrastructure and sustainability. We must prioritize the improvement of our infrastructure, including utilities and public spaces. I will work diligently to secure funding for necessary infrastructure projects. Public safety and well-being. The safety and well-being of our community members are paramount. In closing, I want to assure you that I am dedicated to being accessible, accountable, and effective.
Bob Stanford, your closing statement, please.
If I pause, does the clock start? So, anyway, my message is simple. It's get involved. Most people don't know that they can come and talk at every single meeting. We have 3 minutes at the beginning and 3 minutes at the end. You have no idea how important that is. The sad part is we can't answer you or talk back. So, but the ideas we write down, I watch all the council members write, and we act on them. You know, the moms were one example at the park. You know, we've had many examples. The COVID speakers came, and that ended up changing the way we did that. So please come. Our phone numbers are in the directory. Call us. You know, we're here to advocate for your ideas. And don't assume that we know the facts in every matter. You know, Anakin can tell you, we get our packets and we're busy, you know, on that, but we don't necessarily know the details of what's in your life. So I, you know, whoever you vote for, I think you'll have some good candidates here, but advocate for yourself. Call us.
So speaking of Annika, you are up.
Thank you. Friends and neighbors, I want to reiterate my earlier statements. I am ready to work for you, and I am prepared to put the work in that is necessary to open doors that will lead to a better future for all our families. My combined education and experience have prepared me for this important role in our community. I can't promise that I will always have the answers, but what I can promise, I will show up on time, and I will do my homework to make intelligent decisions that benefit the community as a whole. I will listen to you with respect, whether we agree or not, and your input will help me decide what I vote at council meetings. I represent a new generation of local leadership, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve you and your loved ones. I'm Kodiak grown, and I want to help Kodiak grow. Thank you for your consideration and your trust.
Thank you. That concludes the City Council Candidate Forum. Thank you, Mr. Bishop, Mr. Stanford, and Ms. Woods for participating. Thank you to the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, Kodiak Daily Mirror, KMXT, and the Kodiak Island Borough for making tonight's forum possible.